now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. I want to mention one property we put on the market this week in Springfield, Virginia, 8425 Millwood Drive. Rarely available townhouse there in Millwood Estates. Lovely townhouse, conveniently located, major commuter routes, excellent schools, tons of shopping and entertainment. Eat-in kitchen, relaxed by the fireplace, and a fenced-in brick patio. Plus, there's a large owner's suite with a private bath and spa-like jetted tub. To see this, go to ericstewartgroup.com for our Virginia listings. Have you thought about buying a home for your kids? Well, guess what? There's benefits to not only to them in that they receive the opportunity to have home ownership, but if there's a training that goes on when you have a house, and if you feel like your kids are ready for that opportunity, what are you really giving them? How are you really helping them by putting them into a home maybe, you know, early in life? So Jill South, she's a staff writer, and she wrote the following article. If your first thought when an affluent client tells you that they want to buy a home for a grown-up child is, what a spoiled brat, you should banish that attitude immediately. Because if you're a believer in the real estate market, which I am, of course, it's both good for the market and a wonderful opportunity for the first-time home buyers to learn about the benefits of home ownership, says one expert. A hand up, Leonard Steinberg in the Manhattan market. Leonard Steinberg is a president of Compass Realty. He's seen a huge surge of parents helping their children buy homes this year. The arrangement varies. Some parents buy a home flat out all in cash and gift it to the kids, or they pay cash and the kids pay for maintenance, or they just fund the down payment, in some cases asking the children to pay interest on that. Is this kind of a handout spoiling kids? Steinberg says no. If you're teaching them about home ownership, I feel that it's being responsible, not spoiling. So what do you think? Do you think it's spoiling your kids to buy them a house? I mean, how many of us can actually go out and buy our kids a house, right? It's not very common, but it does happen. And if you're in a position to help your children get in and get a property and gift something to them, let's think about how they need to be prepared for that opportunity. Clearly, when you have somebody who's expressed responsibility through their life, they've lived a responsible life in their schooling and their work life and so on, and you feel like they understand basic maintenance or they're open in relationship to you, then you stepping in to work with them to see them get into a property can be the difference between them owning and not owning, and establishing residency in an area where maybe they're just about to have kids, if they're going to have kids at all, and want to be in a school district that they are hoping to be. With the rates being in the low 4% range, and maybe in the future they're going to go up, if you can help your kids lock in now a mortgage with tax write-offs and so on that actually parallels what their rent would be, you could really be helping them in the long term to build equity, of course, because every month as they're paying a mortgage, they're paying down their debt a little bit each month, and over time, they'll have paid that house off. You can lock them into long-term savings by paying their mortgage off versus being in a rental situation for another 5 to 7 years and then trying to save their money to buy. It can really benefit the kids long-term and their long-term financial picture. But if you simply provide the opportunity just by gifting everything, is that teaching them responsibility? That isn't to say that there's a moral choice here, because you decide you want to give something to your kids, you want to buy them a house. Well, it's America, folks. You can do that. And it's nothing to say that your child isn't responsible. That's really between you and your kids, right?
Right.
So maybe you help them with the down payment, maybe you buy it right out, or maybe you do some sort of payment where there you become the bank. You buy it and you have them pay you back a bit of interest as you're slowly gifting them a house, which one creative solution here is that if you simply buy the house and then gift the house to them, there may be tax complications with that, versus if you buy the house and you give a portion of the house every year over to them in ownership, based upon the IRS rules, which limit the amount each person can give their children. You know, like if you and your wife want to give a certain amount to your kid, you can do that, but it's limited. Above that, there are taxes often that are paid. There are creative solutions for this by putting it into trust and other things. And we've got a couple of great attorneys that you can chat with about that over at RGS Title. If you're interested and are thinking about buying a home for your kids, want to have some creative solutions, or even to talk through hey, this is the personality of my kid. I want to help them the best for them. And you want to talk to an expert in real estate about that, I want you to call me now. And you can leave a message and ask me to call you back and we can chat it out. That number is 800-900-9104. Last week, I was in southeast and southwest Washington, D.C., showing row houses. And boy, you know, it continues to stun me to see the incredible upside swing of real estate values in Washington, D.C., especially as you go into southeast. If you're heading towards Buzzards Point, which is over near where the Nats Stadium is, and that area was just completely a difficult area to live in, very difficult area, very sort of run down after many, many, many years. And with what's happening on the waterfront, down on Water Street in Southwest, all the way over to Nat Stadium, and now on the other side of that, where I believe the new soccer stadium is going to go, this is this entire regentrification of that area and development of the area is just mind-blowing. I encourage you, if you haven't been into Southeast or Southwest D.C., drive down there, take a drive through and just see how dramatic it is. It's like a brand new part of the city where before it was just old warehouses and empty lots and broken down buildings and that kind of thing, really just 15 to 20 years ago. I was in Northeast as well, showing a property that is off 8th Street that was purchased by an owner or two ago in 1997 for just $82,000. Probably a boarded up old row house, about 1,800 square feet. And today it's on the market for $850,000. Now, clearly, a long time's gone by. There's been a lot of changes and a lot of money put into it. Probably $250,000 worth of work went into this property. And someone lived there for the last 20 years and somebody took that risk and so on. And that property was worth probably, you know, $150,000 60 years ago, dropped to 82 by 97 because just the way that the city was, you know, in Northeast was still languishing. And over the last 10 to 12 years, Northeast up through 8th Street and heading out towards where the Washington Times used to be and out towards Dakota Crossing, which is, you know, in the Route 50 area coming into the city. Boy, that whole area by the Arboretum, very different area now. It's exciting to see that kind of change. And really, it's a wave of action that, you know, when the moon rises and it's full, the waves are bigger, right? It's the same true. We've seen this moon rising over Washington, D.C. as we've come out of a massive slump, a 60-year slump from the 60s to today. Let's look outside of Washington, D.C. Let's consider how are the puddles of the market. So if D.C. has seen this massive upside surge, is that impacting the real estate just outside of D.C. in Arlington, Bethesda, Chevy Chase, and even in Prince George's County? The answer is yes. We're seeing prices going up in those areas, and we've seen stability. As D.C. has been strong, those areas have been strong, especially near the metro stops in Ballston and in Bethesda and so on. Go outside of that, go out to Rockville and head out, continue out into the outskirts of Arlington, heading out into Fairfax County, and you see, again, values are stable and you see values are increasing. But like rings in a puddle, when you drop a pebble into a pond, the rings go out, and so is the case. Where D.C. for a long time, people wouldn't move into D.C. and they would live just in Fairfax, Arlington, Montgomery counties, and sometimes PG. That has changed as major shifts have taken, people moving from the outskirts into the city so they can get that walkability. They can be close to the ball games. They can be close to the museums and so on. Very, very interesting. If you go outside of D.C., take a look at that. Download the Market Ready Guide to get ideas on where the market is now and where it should be for you and your sale. At the ericstewartgroup.com website, that's ericstewartgroup.com. Are you trying to decide whether to continue renting or to buy? I'll help you out straight ahead.